the midwinter. But let's pause for a moment and think about spending a summer's day at one of our wonderful seaside resorts. The waves lapping the shore, kids playing, the smell of fish and chips wafting, and... Yep, there they are. The dreaded girls dive-bombing your ice cream, following your every move down the street as you tuck into your candy floss, and creating a cacophony of cawing that could waken the dead. What can be done to stop this menace from the skies? Well, they've been talking about it in Scarborough and Whitby on the Yorkshire coast today, and Mike Kemp's been there to find out more.
There's muck on the ground here.
All the time, you see. And also...
Kath Duffy runs the Newcastle Packet Pub on the seafront in Scarborough, South Bay.
See that
note? Who can read it? Oh, it says, please don't feed the gulls, but it's high up, isn't it?
Yeah. Does anybody take any notice? No, they don't. I'm absolutely fed up with it.
She believes action of some kind is long overdue to tackle the problems created by the seagulls.
People are coming in saying how dirty the town is. We don't want that, do we?
Up here?
The nest up here. Can you see? Can you see the chimneys? Right, I get them squealing all night.
And do you get woken up most nights during the summer then?
Most nights.
What time in the morning do they start?
They could start about 3 or 4 o'clock.
And they got a very distinctive cry, haven't they?
Haven't they just?
Herring gulls started nesting on roofs in Scarborough in the late 60s, earlier in Whitby, and kittiwakes much more recently. Both birds are now on the endangered list. Herring gulls see the towns as a source of food. For kittiwakes, they're a safe haven. Meanwhile, Kath Duffy prepares to clean up more seagull mess around her pub.
I hope something's done because it needs to be. But then you get the good doers, you know, don't touch them, you can't do this, you can't do that. They want to come in and live here. Let them take my place and let them live here for a week. And let's see what happens.
Mike Kemp in Scarborough, reporting on the gull problems that they're having. Graham Madge is from the RSPB, joins me on the line now. Graham, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Sounds like they're a bit of a pain in some of our seaside towns, aren't they?
Well, I mean, let's look at this particular issue for a moment. I mean, the RSPB obviously empathises with people that live close to these birds. We know that they're perhaps not always the best of neighbours, and I appreciate they can be a bit noisy and they have habits perhaps of stealing food and things like that that don't endear them always to people. But let's just remember that these birds have been with us for millennia. We are an island nation. We pride ourselves on a maritime heritage. These birds are part of our seaside tradition. And what we say is that there has to be a more sustainable long-term solution to living with these birds. Now, herring gulls and the kittiwakes that you mentioned in your package, they're both species which are declining rapidly. If we go back to the 1970s, for every 10 herring gulls that we had then, we only have about 4 today. Now, the situation is that their numbers are building up in seaside towns like Scarborough, Whitby. You can add Brighton and Ilfracombe and Penzance to that list. But these birds are just coming in to our towns and cities because, unwittingly, people are providing them with everything that they need. There is a ready source of food in the form of takeaways and open-top litter bins and all of that. There is access to nesting sites on seaside hotels and other flat roofs and buildings. And we have a situation where there have been attempts to try and remove the birds, to remove their eggs. But, of course, unless we tackle the bigger problem, then we're not really addressing the issue.
Is that the issue, then? If people who visit these coastal resorts that you've mentioned want to see herring gulls and kittiwakes flying around, maybe out to sea, back nesting on cliffs, but don't want them making a hideous mess as they walk down the street or nicking their food, it's down to those people who run businesses and who live in these towns to do something about it.
Well, it's going to have to be a community action in order to try and bring these birds back to the clifftops where they belong. As I say, they're coming into towns because a seaside hotel, from a herring gull's perspective, is just like an offshore stack or a cliff. It offers the same vantage point and protection that those birds would get.
What could the owners do then to stop them?
Well, it is a long-term problem. There is no magic solution, unfortunately. But what we do have to try and do is work together as communities. That's local authorities, local businesses, visitors, residents, pulling together to try and remove the aspect that encourages these birds in. They're very simple in ways. They only need food and they need nesting sites. If we can deter them from nesting on flat roofs, discourage them by all means, if we can withdraw their food supply, perhaps make it illegal under bylaws for people to feed the birds in the street, there are things that can be done. As I say, there isn't a short-term solution to this. Some people seem to think that culling the birds will be a magic solution.
Yeah, it seems very... I mean, certainly people getting in touch with me. What about selective culling, just in certain areas where it's a real problem?
Well, all you're doing is you are creating a sink for more gulls to come into. So I'm sure people, even those people that are vehemently against gulls being in towns, wouldn't want the birds to be culled needlessly. I think everybody is united in the fact that these birds would be better in the places where they've existed for thousands of years, and to get these birds back to these locations, we're going to need to take long-term solutions. There isn't a quick fix. For those people that think there is, I think that may be perhaps a little naive. Local authorities, residents, visitors, business owners need to work together. This is a long-term problem requiring a long-term solution.
Thank you, Graham. Graham Madge from the RSPB on how to start solving the problems of gulls in our seaside resorts. And like ICANN, so you heard our reports from Scarborough and Whitby a little bit earlier, those living there want something to be done about the gulls, the herring gulls and the kittiwakes. Come and live here for a week was the cry, and you'll see what a mess they make. I'm going to speak now to Jenny Steer, a photographer from Devon, who runs the website iloveseagulls.com, not because she loves seagulls. Hi, Jenny.
Hi there. Hi.
Lovely photographs. You've made those, I'm looking at the homepage at the moment, those herring gulls look pretty moody.
Thank you.
Why do you love seagulls?
I love them. I was actually brought up by the sea. I lived in Dawlish and Sheldon in Devon. So from a child, I've always been sort of used to living with the gulls around me. And I live in Exeter at the moment, which is a city, but there's still the gulls here as well. And the ones that are on my website, they were taken from my window on the second floor of the flat I've got in Exeter.
My goodness, they've come so close.
They are, yeah. They're great for photographing, yeah.
Aren't they? Just, they're quite posy, actually. They are quite posers. What do you understand, though, why it is that there are those who just can't stand them?
I can't understand where they're coming from. But I can hear that, you know, people don't understand. They look at a gull, they see it's a big bird, and they, you know, I mean, they mentioned the mess. I heard your program earlier, but I see a lot more mess left by humans, actually, to be honest, like waste on the streets, you know, there's loads of rubbish left, there's bins overflowing and stuff, and I think the gulls are just very ingenious. They look at, you know, they see the food, they see the opportunity, and they take it, really. I don't see any mess. I don't really see mess around where I live by gulls. It's more humans, to be honest.
Okay. And are there, looking at the pictures, are there some species of gulls that are better sitters than others when it comes to taking their photographs?
Not really. I mean, the herring gull, I think, probably is the most common gull that you'd see around here. Although there were a pair of lesser blackback gulls, which they nested right in the complex where I live. They were refurbishing here, and they'd removed some of the rooftops and were making them sort of gull-proof. And these pair of lesser blackback gulls were actually nesting on the ground. And the workmen would walk by with wheelbarrows and stuff, and they'd fly off at first, but then they got used to men walking by. And they stayed there, and they were absolutely so vulnerable because, you know, anything could have got them. And the men, the workmen, who were obviously they were anti-gull. They thought seagulls were pests and stuff. But they soon, you know, they came round and they warmed to this pair of gulls because they could see how tenacious they were and how, you know, what good parents they were to.
So you can actually learn to love a gull?
Yes, you can.
Before you go, Jenny, which are the ones, those massive, enormous ones with the big hooked beaks, big eyes that look as if they could rip out your throat?
I don't think they do that. You're talking about the great blackback gulls.
They're terrifying. I mean, I like gulls, I like birds, but they are utterly scary, especially the fearless ones.
But then I think, you know, look at what humans do, and I think all a gull is trying to do is get on with its life, and they're monogamous, they mate for life. They're brilliant parents. They look after their young, which is what humans try and do, I should think, isn't it? You're protective of your young, your kids, and that's all gulls are trying to do. They're trying to, you know, like the guy who spoke before from the RSPB, they're just trying to eat and live. And I think we need to stop, you know, humans need to calm down a bit, and, you know, we need to sort of not let this into a drama. We need to sort of learn to live peaceably alongside wildlife.
Thank you, Jenny.
Yeah.
Passionately spoken. And
great
photos as well. Thanks for coming on the show. Jenny Steer, who runs ilovesequels.com. We'll put a link to her site on our Facebook page. See what you think. You may learn to love them too. Traffic and travel.